IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. My name is Rohan Seth, and I am here today with Pratik Wagre and Sapni. And we are going to talk about the new FTC Facebook case, the relatively new FTC Facebook case that's been in the news. Without further ado, I want to begin with you, Sapni. Tell us a little bit about what's happening and the summary of this case.
So essentially, this is an amended suit with respect to the previous suit that was filed by the FTC in September 2020. That suit, it was kind of thrown out by the judge, the Columbia District Judge, on the grounds that there was no clear demarcation of what the relevant market is, which is very important in antitrust suits. And there was not a very strong case against Facebook as a monopolist who was misusing its dominance. So the FTC is trying to amend for these mistakes it made in the previous suit. Here in this particular suit, the FTC has tried to define personal social networking provider, which is exactly the definition of the relevant market as the FTC concept. So within this definition, the FTC has tried to demarcate and differentiate what the relevant market in the suit is, in this particular suit is, and also try to emphasize on how Facebook is different from all other social networking platforms we have. While doing so, the FTC has now come to this conclusion that within the said personal social networking definition, the FTC only identifies Facebook, that is the original app, the platform, which is also called Facebook Blue, and Instagram, and very curiously, Snapchat. Other than that, it tries to differentiate and distinguish and claim that Facebook and these three particular apps are different from the LinkedIn's of the world and Twitter and even TikTok, which I think we will come back to because that's a very interesting and probably difficult to sustain argument. Then the FTC further moves on to make its big, very similar claims as it made in the previous suit that Facebook has been acting in an anti-competitive manner given how it structured its platform as an open first, close later scheme is what the FTC calls it, essentially that it lured in people, software developers, etc., and through its API when it was open, and then later it was closed so that people could not move on and share the software that they developed on that API into and make it and create a competitive platform. So that is one major argument the FTC makes. And now the other one, of course, being that Facebook bought Instagram and WhatsApp in trying to maintain the control it had over the social media market. And again, it's interesting that the FTC brings WhatsApp here again, but I think, again, we'll get back to that. So essentially, the FTC is asking for injunctive relief against Facebook, and in asking for injunctive relief, it also does not completely avoid the idea of breaking Facebook up, given it also has a prayer for restructuring the whole business, and which is not limited only to Instagram and WhatsApp. So that is a brief idea and the context to this case.
Right. So right before the podcast started, Pratik and I were having a conversation about whether or not this is a topic that we've previously recorded a podcast on. And I must confess, my memory is a bit vague because we have done so many of these. But given that, you mentioned that there are certain similarities between cases that have been filed against Facebook before by the FTC and this one. So what exactly is different this time around, apart from, let's say, the market definition, which, to some extent, you can make the argument that any market's a monopoly if you define it narrowly enough. So apart from that, apart from the relevant market, what exactly is different? Or are we just looking at the same pony doing a little different trick?
I wouldn't steer very far away from the idea that it is the same pony trying to do a different trick. But again, something that comes off clearer is the shift from the idea that the Chicago school, which essentially is what mostly dominates the conversation around antitrust in the US and consequently in many other parts of the world, that there is essentially no difference between price and cost. So here, the idea of privacy, the idea that that also comes within cost, and that Facebook has built this entire digital advertising monolith with the power that it has over this defined personal social networking market. So that surveillance-based architecture, which helps Facebook, all of that comes across much better. So I think that is the difference between price and cost, which the FTC tries to bring here, is irrelevant. And that is a considerable difference from the previous and a lot of other suits across the world.
And this one at least mentions TikTok.
Well, there is that. Having said that, like, I have this question. I don't know how you, like, this brings us to how you define a social media company, because you could make the argument that TikTok's actually a media company and so on. Like, in the case of India, that's not as relevant because TikTok is, well, we don't have TikTok anymore. So for our listeners who have not actually sort of been following up with the Chicago School and the Brandeisian School and so on, the basic idea of the Chicago School is that to measure whether or not something is competitive, you look at price as the main metric, right? Whereas the Brandeisian School sort of talks about whether or not the market structure is competitive. And then sort of there's a greater role that cost has to play when it comes to antitrust. So given all of that, I would like to understand, Sapni, what this lawsuit means for cost and generally for whether or not the Chicago School or cost is a better metric in this context.
Right. So with respect to the Chicago School, to begin off with, that was what gave rise to a lot of entrepreneurial experiments within a very tightly defined market structure before, which existed previously. But with the onset, with the adoption of the Chicago School, it got limited. The idea of what exactly would be the metric got limited to price, where exactly what the monetary price of something that would define whether you are being, that would be the bedrock of antitrust analysis. But with the idea of cost is that it's not just limited to the price you pay. So in the case of platforms or Facebook in particular, it is a free platform. You don't have to pay anything. You have access to it freely. So then the question becomes, what exactly is that you are paying? So that question is answered by what is cost. And in that case, the FTC again here argues that you pay with your privacy, particularly because the FTC argues how Facebook, even after having myriad of challenges in the form of allegations like Cambridge Analytica, or that they have reduced the standard of privacy that the platform gives. So originally, Facebook differentiated itself from MySpace and its earlier competitors, given that it had a stronger privacy framework. And that's how a lot of people got onto Facebook. But that is decades of story. But today, Facebook can reduce the standards and the quality of its products without having considerable effects. Facebook has been posting incredible profits after profits every year. So one of these are arguments that the FTC makes, that then the cost part of it should be considered rather than the price part of the exchange. Further, the FTC also argues about the whole idea of attention economy that we keep on hearing in cases of platforms, that while it does not come up very well in suit, I think it is a considerably well-made initial argument. If that comes off well in arguments in person, then that would really make a difference, because as they say, now we are the product, and if the product we use are free, then we are the products. So I think that's the difference between cost and price and how that will impact. And this can have ripple effects on how price and cost differentiation is looked at in the broader spectrum of regulation across the world.
Right. On that very optimistic note of us being the product, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back to talk about other analysis on this topic. Welcome back to All Things Policy. You've been listening to Rohan, Pratik and Sapni talk about the new FTC suit, the relatively new FTC suit against Facebook. And Pratik, I want to begin with you. Before we began this podcast, we talked about what Ben Thompson had to say about the whole situation. And I'd love your lowdown on what the argument is there.
Well, so he has a lot to say, and I also combined with a couple of things that others have written about, you know, Gilad Edelman at Wired, Mike Masnick at TechDirt, right? And they pointed to a couple of, firstly, they pointed to, you know, the whole definition of the personal social networking market in the United States, right? Which Rohan, as you said, if you define a market closely enough, narrowly enough, everything becomes a monopoly, right? But it was interesting because, you know, apart from that, what they also, what the, you know, law school also does is have a very specific definition for social advertising, right? Which it then takes great pains to differentiate from display advertising on the basis that, you know, you need to log in to a platform like Facebook. So it has information about you, your interests, about, you know, demographics, etc. These ads can appear in feed, right? And also appear in a native format. Now, it'll be interesting to see how that holds up, because you can reasonably make the case that display advertising does both of this, you know, in the form of the fact that it is targeted, and, you know, it does try, you know, you do have ads that appear in within content, etc. Right? So it's going for every imaginable part of a web page that you're trying to look at. Right? So it'll be interesting to see how that particular part plays out. I don't know if, I don't recall whether the judge specifically commented on that part. Anthony, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong over there. But the other thing that, you know, folks have pointed out was that there are a couple of contradictions in this, right? In this specific definition, especially of the market, is that one, you know, WhatsApp is excluded. Right? As it defined, they've taken pains to clarify that the messaging service is kind of separate market. So then it becomes tricky to say, look, how is WhatsApp, you know, on the face of it, how can you say that Facebook acquiring a company in a different relevant market is anti-competitive behavior, right? That's one point that's been raised. And a broader meta point is that, you know, the a lot of parts of the suit show that Facebook's position is pretty fragile, and it recognizes that its position is fragile. So then it, you know, it becomes a question of, you know, is this really a dominant form, right? And we'll have to see how that plays out. These are criticisms that are coming out. Yeah, and especially the LinkedIn part, right? And highlighted that. And this is something that people have raised, that look, essentially everything you can do on Facebook, you can do on LinkedIn, right? So it's very hard to differentiate it. Apart from the fact that I think LinkedIn just recently announced that it's killing stories. So now you can't post stories on LinkedIn. But pretty much everything else you can do on Facebook, you can do on LinkedIn. So it becomes a question of, look, how is that different? You know, how is that part of a different market? And TikTok becomes especially interesting as well. You know, they throw that in there, but then they argue that it's a different, it belongs to a different market. And it's also interesting because part of what they're arguing is that the Instagram acquisition was, you know, was anti-competitive. But the way the market has played out, right? And you can make this argument 2021, the way the market has played out, it's very hard to say that TikTok and Instagram are completely different markets, right? So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, right? Whether the judge accepts these changes as they are or not.
Right. I must admit that if I was Facebook and I heard the FTC bring up the Instagram acquisition one more time, I think I would need to hire like four more lawyers to just talk about that the fact that it's been over 10 years and maybe this should not be a conversation.
No, but so on that, actually, on that, there was an interesting thing, because I think one of, and this is, you know, as part of the, when the lawsuit was thrown out, you know, when the judge did throw it out, he did point out that, you know, as long as there is stake involved, the argument can be made that the acquisition was anti-competitive, right? So again, I may not be quoting it in the exact words, but the gist of the argument was that, you know, as long as Facebook hold the stake in Instagram, technically, you can bring up the case that the initial acquisition was anti-competitive, because, you know, and this, he cited some case law to say that, right? So in effect, what that means is that you know, there is potentially no time bound on this case, so they can bring it up later as well, right? Just because 10 years have passed, that doesn't seem to be a good enough reason to say that hey, you can't go back and unwind that acquisition, or that acquisition wasn't anti-competitive to begin with.
Right. In that case, I think we should, I mean, this is obviously not the last time we'll talk about this, but let's actually sort of move on from that and talk about the implications this has for India. Now, I know that, Prateek, you have written an excellent paper on DCNs. So, and I think we did record a podcast on that. So tell me a little bit about that paper and then the implications that you can derive from this lawsuit.
Well, there are several levels right now. I won't go into the whole paper again. We'll link to that episode. But essentially, right, the case that we tried to make in that paper was that this concept of digital communication networks, right, it has three components. There is the capability, which is to, you know, communicate instantly. There are operators, which are firms or groups that, you know, that make these capabilities. And then you have networks of either people or entities that are using the network. And this is all a way of saying that, look, the kind of effects these digital communication networks are having extend far beyond what a single company does and how their user base uses things, right? Because these things tend to flow across, right? The effects are across spheres of competition, data, and narratives. And what we did in that paper was we went back and tried to, you know, we looked at all the harms that have been attributed to digital communication networks, and we tried to classify them on the basis of potential market failures, social problems, and cognitive biases, right? And once we did that analysis, right, one of our takeaways was that, look, to address all these challenges, right, which are complex and spread across multiple aspects, right, I came away unconvinced that just antitrust action in a few developed economies is going to address the myriad set of, you know, social problems and cognitive issues that we're highlighting and attributing to them, right? That's the gist, right? That's the direct takeaway. I think that there are knock-on effects, and, you know, I'll let Sapni come in and talk about this, because I think she raised an excellent point. But, you know, if let's say, hypothetically speaking, if Facebook were to be forced to sell off WhatsApp, right, what would that change for its 400 million user base in India in the short term? I would say not much, right?
So I think here, as Prateek was pointing out, there are multiple levels of having effects. And something that now people are parading around is with antitrust actions, but that's just only one part of the solutions to a very, very big, huge problem with multiple dimensions. So there it is, it's very necessary that there are additional steps that are taken, and the idea of regulating social media is not limited to antitrust actions in the EU and the US, or maybe in Australia and these very few countries. Again, the point I was trying to make earlier about how it has knock-on effects on litigation itself in various countries. So as far as India is concerned, even yesterday there was a suit filed against Apple to the Competition Commission. There was a complaint. And these are all probably going to hinge on the definitions and the changes in definitions that happen within, considering how antitrust itself is changing. So I think there's a lot of scope for change in the idea of antitrust, change in the idea of price, and how that maybe moves towards cost, and how that can maybe in the longer run help have competitive action in digital sphere in total.
Right. So I don't think this is the last time that we'll be talking about antitrust and competition on this podcast, even FTC and Instagram and Facebook. But while we talk about this stuff in the future, as things stand, Sapni, do you have any final thoughts regarding this?
I think this is a very interesting development, as I think throughout the podcast, I've been hinging on this price versus cost differentiation. I really think that has implications across the board. And I also think there is scope for reining in bigger platforms some way because of this whole temperament that is happening across the globe. You look at China, you look at EU, everywhere this is happening, right? And antitrust is, people of the countries are really cracking down on this. But again, the possibility of this suit succeeding, it is not very strong, at least in my opinion, given, as Prateek has also pointed out, how the definition itself and is sort of unclear and it's dilly-dallying. And there are a lot of positions that the FTC suit takes, which is slightly away from the market reality. So this would be an interesting exercise for us as people who look at technology and also larger population of how regulation in itself blossoms into something if it will, or will it just continue to be decreased product qualities without having any significant dent in how these markets and these market players work.
Right. So in a sense, we are still in sort of very interesting stages of things, and time will tell how things progress. So Pratik, Sapni, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for listening to All Things Policy.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week: Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.